356,000 babies will be born around the world, 90% of them in the developing world.
Babies, 6 billion.
A struggle for water, food,
and all the children that follow.
Basic education and health care.
This is a vastly bigger baby boom. It's going to define the society of the 21st century.
Oh, listen to that sound. In one of those irresistible fake headlines you hear in the news from time to time, the United Nations tells us that the world's population will reach 7 billion on Monday, October 31st, 2011. Well, of course, the actual person is unknown, and there is disagreement over the precise birth rate numbers. Some estimates put the 7 billion threshold to be crossed sometime next year. But the expansion of the human imprint on planet Earth is real, and it poses a question. What kind of a world does that 7 billionth baby arrive in? And here to talk about that is Suzanne Petroni. She's Vice President for Global Health at the Public Health Institute. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
So is this 7 billionth baby arriving a little late to the party here on planet Earth? The sound that you heard there at the top suggests it's not necessarily a wonderful place this baby is arriving in. But what's the greatest likelihood of the location and race and life expectancy of this 7 billionth baby?
Sure. Let me take just a quick moment, if I could, before I answer that, to make a comment, because I listened to your discussion yesterday with Matthew Connolly, and I want to say that I agree with the premise that we don't need population control to deal with the situation that we're facing. But what he didn't say, and what I really want to make sure that people understand, is that we do need to support greater access to voluntary family planning and education around the world so that women and men have the information and the services they need and they want to be able to decide freely and responsibly how many children they have. What you didn't talk about yesterday was that there are right now about 215 million women who want but don't have access to modern methods of contraception, and that in the next decade we expect about 100 million girls to be forced to marry before they reach the age of 18, and this often, we know, leads to early pregnancy, which is the leading cause of death worldwide for females age 15 to 19.
Well, I think what Connolly was saying there, Suzanne, was that while those are really important life and existential issues for women and rights questions for women, mm-hmm. if you balance the family planning dynamics with the life expectancy dynamics with improvement in healthcare around the world, that the impact on the population of improved healthcare and longer life expectancy dwarfs the impact of family planning. I don't think he necessarily was against family planning.
I wouldn't say that it dwarfs it. I mean, history has shown that you don't need force or coercion when women are given education, information, and services, and the ability to decide their own fates. Fertility rates will decline and population growth rates will slow. So, you know, due to the momentum of past population growth, of course, we're going to see continued growth. But whether that growth levels off at 8 billion or continues growing to 11 or 12 billion really depends on whether women and girls have access to education and family planning.
Well, I think we certainly agree on that point. What kind of a world is this 7 billionth baby arriving in?
Sure. So if we're to statistically, where the 7 billionth person might be born, the chances are that child's going to be born in China or India. Each currently has over 1 billion inhabitants. And we also expect that because boys are more valued than girls in these countries, that child's likely to be a boy. In India right now, for example, there are 94 girls for every 100 boys. That number is even lower in China. For every 100 girls, there are about 120 boys. And so this actually points to the need to, again, ensure greater equality between men and women so that girls are valued in society. And again, when girls are valued, educated, and informed, they're likely to be healthier, marry later, and have less children. So it comes back to population growth, and it comes back to the fact that it's about education and equality. In terms of what world that boy will likely face, he's likely to grow up in a city for the first time ever in the past few years.
Stop there for a second. Why more likely mm-hmm. to grow up in cities? Because cities are so overly populated. I would think the impetus would be to expand outside of cities, but you say no.
No, the trend has been that more people are moving to cities out of the countryside. And in fact, by mid-century, we expect 2 out of every 3 people to live in a city. So this means shifting from traditional means of agricultural production and work and transportation to what will likely be a more sedentary lifestyle. This boy can expect his eating and consumption and commuting, even smoking and drinking habits to change. And so if cities aren't planned with health considerations in mind, this boy, as he grows up, is likely to face a whole host of diseases that his parents and grandparents never saw. He may be overweight, he may smoke, he may be diabetic, and he may be contributing to increasing rates of non-communicable diseases like cancer and heart disease, which the countries that we're talking about are not necessarily prepared to face. So that's certainly something that the countries are going to need to deal with. Already, non-communicable diseases account for two-thirds of mortality worldwide.
Well, we're speaking with Suzanne Petroni, who's Vice President for Global Health at the Public Health Institute, and we're trying to examine the concept of 7 billion people on the planet. Statistically speaking, though, can we say that this 7th billion boy or girl will be better off than the 6th billionth? Is the average person on the planet in a better condition now than we have been?
Well, it's hard to predict in the future, and again, it depends largely on what opportunities and choices are given to them. We are facing a world where half the world's population is under 25 years old. The choices and the information and the education and the services that are available to this next generation of young people will determine not only their fate, but really the fate of the world. So we need to really focus on young people right now and ensure that they have the information, the education, and the services they need to grow up and create a healthier and more productive world. But again, there are many challenges in terms of moving to a different type of lifestyle than we are used to providing for these young people.
Well, let's talk about some of those pressures before we go. I asked Matthew Connolly yesterday in our interview, which you can hear at thetakeaway.org, about why it doesn't necessarily feel, and here in the industrialized New York world that we're broadcasting from, it wouldn't necessarily be expected, but why you don't feel the difference between 6 and 7 billion. Where in the world are population pressures the greatest to change behavior? Who feels the most crowded in the world right now?
Yeah, at a global level, it is very difficult to talk about what an additional billion people means, but you can feel it indeed in the sprawl in cities and outside of cities, but also at the local community level in many countries where deforestation, lack of water, lack of schools and jobs for people, that's starting to take place in many, many societies around the world. So those are issues that we need to deal with. And again, access to voluntary family planning and girls' education can go a long way toward slowing population growth and empowering women.
Suzanne Petroni is Vice President for Global Health at the Public Health Institute. She spoke with us from The Hague, where she's attending a conference. We're talking about the 7 billionth person expected, according to the United Nations, to be born, that person, on October 31st of this year, which is less than a week away. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you very much.
And we want to get your response on how you think these 7 billion people will affect you. Ed in Larchmont, New York, wrote at thetakeaway.org, "We now have an aging society. The problem soon won't be too many people, but too few people and the contracting economies. As a result, we're actually going to be talking about the challenges of aging populations in tomorrow as part of our 7 billion series." Another listener at thetakeaway.org wrote this, "Your population guest yesterday said it's estimated it will only take 15 years until there are 8 million humans living on Earth.
8 billion.
8 billion humans living on Earth. Let's hope not." What's your response? Give us your stories about a billion populations or give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.